Thanks, Mish. Good morning, everybody. Well, our September surprise has finally arrived. And so we're honored this morning to have Jeff Bernstein with us, who affectionately is known as JB. So we're going to call him JB for now on. And maybe Jeff, JB, you can explain that why to us later. But so he's going to be with us this morning, but not only this morning, but for the next 2 weeks. Randy and I, we met JB over the last, Randy and I, we've been attending the Tikkun Leaders Conference, which actually takes place right here in Ellicott City at Turf Valley Conference Center. We've been going, Randy and I, for 8 years or so? I'm not sure, around that time. But so every year we go and we join up with the Tikkun brothers and sisters. They're a network of messianic congregations and one new man congregations like us. And they meet, and the leaders meet together every year right here. And we've been attending, and it's been real good. And we've gotten to know JB, a little bit better. And particularly just this last one, we got to know JB even more. And that's why he's with us for these next 2 weeks. So a little bit about JB. He's the recognized equipping evangelist in the Tikkun Network. And he's here with us for the next 2 weeks to do two things: to impart to us God's heart for the lost, and to equip us to reach the unreached, and to touch the untouched, and to love the unloved. So he's with us for 2 weeks to teach us and to equip us. A little bit of background: JB, he's traveled the world, literally, 1994, along with his wife. His 3-year-old son and 3-year-old daughter, they moved to Moscow to establish a messianic Jewish congregation that has since multiplied and is doing thriving to this day. 1998, they moved to Kazakhstan. Everybody say Kazakhstan. Or is it Stan? Kazakhstan. Stan. Okay, Kazakhstan. And there they planted two more messianic congregations. JB, he's traveled to Norway, Sweden, Japan, India, Nepal, Ukraine. Did you ever meet Anton in Ukraine? Israel, Turkey, and the United Kingdom. JB, he's the founding director and the president of Gates of Zion, which is a nonprofit ministry established for the purpose of teaching the body of Christ to embrace their Jewish roots and equipping believers to share the good news with Jewish people and all people. And in the past year, he's been doing what he's going to be doing here for the next 2 weeks. 6 months or so ago, he was in Sarasota, Florida, where stuff is continuing to break out to this day because of what happened there in those 2 weeks. He was with El Shaddai congregation right here in Frederick, Maryland for 2 weeks. Stuff is happening there. He was just in Philly right before we're coming here. Stuff is happening there. And now he's here, and we're believing stuff is going to happen here. So, with all that said, let's give a warm welcome to JB. And he even looks Jewish. Do you want it in here? Or?
I'll tape it here. I see some familiar faces, or at least, all right, hi there, praise God. All right, and I see the team over there, the youth,
Amen.
The leaders, yeah, hallelujah. Yeah, I say it's time to pass the baton, okay. Yeah, well, you know, that's up to them. No, I'm only kidding. Yeah, you're right. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Yeshua, we ask you to speak. We ask you to manifest your presence in a very powerful way. We ask you to have your way with us. We ask you to penetrate our hearts, Father God, and we ask you to awaken us. Awaken us. And we ask you this in the name of Yeshua, the King of glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. In a way, I was just sharing that, I don't really know how to do this, meaning to bring you what God wants to bring you. But thank God he does. And it seems like the people that have most changed the world, they couldn't even speak. Moses, Paul, he said, I did, you know, he didn't have the gift of the oratory gift. But the more you're not able to do in this business, the more he is, because his power is made perfect in our weakness. And I like that. So I want to just tell you a little about myself. I shared this with the youth group last night. I want to be transparent with you. I do not believe that Jesus, you know, whom Jewish people call Yeshua, I don't believe that he died for my sins. I don't believe that he rose from the dead. And I don't believe that he's coming back. I know it. I don't call myself a Jewish believer. I'm a Jewish knower. Because you don't know what you don't know, but you better know what you know. Because we're going to need to know what we know in order to do what he's called us to do. So are you ready to hear the truth? You might not like me at the end of this, and that'll be a good sign. Hallelujah. The word of God is a double-edged sword. And so hearing the word of God, it cuts. And it's very easy for preachers, for people who are up front to give messages that are encouraging, that uplift people. And that's not what's necessarily needed today. We have had so many good messages. We have been so well fed that if we got into the boat that the Lord calls us into, the boat might sink because we're so full. And the time has come for us to live what we believe. The Word of God says that there are apostles, teachers, evangelists, prophets, and pastors that are called to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Hello, saints. Ministers. You are the ministers of the Most High God. And he says that his ministers are a flame of fire. The people up here are not the ministers. We have had it all wrong, not only for decades, but for centuries. In the beginning, the apostles, the disciples, whom were all Jewish, little did I know that growing up in Brooklyn, New York, I thought that Jesus Christ was the son of Mr. and Mrs. Christ. I didn't know that these St. Mark, St. Peter, St. Paul were Jewish. I thought they were Catholic. But the Lord means for the saints to be equipped and to do the work of ministry. And what has happened over these 2,000 years in the American church, in the Western church, is the fishing boats that the fishing boats, the saints have become a weekly audience. And the fishing boats have become cruise ships. And even worse, luxury liners. The business of fishing, which was so prevalent during the first days when the Messiah was here, has taken such a back seat that most people that claim to follow Yeshua, you know who I mean by Yeshua, right? Most who follow him, they have no idea how to talk about, how to. Not only do they have no idea, they don't share their faith. And I was doing a little bit of research on this, and I was startled to find that researchers and poll takers have found the same thing. There is a Lifeway study shows the majority of churchgoers never share their faith. New findings from Lifeway Research, this was a few years ago, described as distressing results that 61% of evangelical Christians fail to share their faith on a regular basis, even though they believe it is their responsibility to do so. And nearly half of those respondents said that they have not invited a non-believer to a meeting, a weekend meeting, let alone share with them about what it is that they supposedly believe in. Many don't know what evangelism is. When believers were rating evangelism in their church, it's not uncommon to hear answers like this. We send a lot of people on mission trips, or we minister to the homeless downtown. But most, you know, these are significant things. And then there's another one, and I want you to examine yourself. You share your faith with your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers. But raise your hand if, out of your efforts, you know more than two people who have not only been born again, but they are being used by God to make disciples right now. People from your work and people like that. See, very few. Something is missing. The body has become a unbiblical. It's become like people come to hear a good message. Now, I have to preface what I'm saying is that there is, thank God, no condemnation for those who are in the Messiah. And I just from being here, I know that you guys are more in line than I think anywhere I've been in a while. But don't start clapping for yourself. You got to remember, those first believers not only changed the world, but they turned it upside down. When we're doing that, we could start clapping for ourselves. But the world is changing us. We're not changing the world. And I'll tell you, when we hear the word of God and don't do what the word of God says, it's worse, it's better to actually stay at home and watch television. Because if you hear the word and you don't do it, he says you deceive yourself. And in the last days, there is a great deception that is already coming upon the world. I want to read some more of this research. Some churches have no evangelism training, and some church members aren't even convinced about lostness. If you did a survey, you wouldn't be surprised that people might go to heaven thinking that Christians think that good people might go to heaven apart from a relationship with the Messiah. They don't see a need for evangelism. There's no concept even and very little preaching about the reality and the unpopular and certainly not politically correct subject of hell. The most politically incorrect person who ever lived was Jesus. He was always in trouble with the ruling religious powers because he spoke the truth. We come, and I'm talking about the general condition of the body in the West. We come to hear a message, and if the message is good and the music is powerful, then fish might jump on the boat. And so evangelism has come in many places. Everybody, bow your head, close your eyes, and repeat after me. And if that is the beginning, I can't imagine what the end is, because it's they're beginning with the first again. It's unbiblical. Close your eyes. Why? You don't want anyone to see. Well, this way you don't have to. You won't be ashamed. So the whole closing of your eyes and bowing your head so nobody could see you starts you off as not being a disciple in the first place. Because when you make a stand for the Lord, everybody's supposed to know. And you're supposed to be smiling back at them and say, come along with me. Not like being ashamed. The Lord talks about the last days. There's a lot of people, how many are interested in the last days? You know, the whole stuff, what's supposed to happen, 666 and the beast and one world government and getting a chip and us not getting chips. You know, are you guys interested in that? Well, everybody, you know, there's a fascinating thing. You know, what's going to happen before the Lord comes back? But one thing that he said would happen, he said the love of many will grow cold. And I have seen that there is a deep freeze on the hearts of most who claim to follow the Lord concerning the lost. And I want you to think about this. Because this is a place that is, there's good stuff happening here. You know, there's the excitement, people running around the room and dancing and stuff would give a heart attack to most Christians. You know, they don't, you know, in fact, I travel to certain places where the culture is to be very quiet. And sometimes I scare people and ask them to shout. I mean, they'll shout at a soccer game, but they are so quiet at the meetings in the church that you can hear a pin drop. In fact, I once went to one of these places, and I began speaking, and it was a building that had different denominations. There were different levels in it. In the first floor, I think they were having a funeral. And so I was on the second floor where they met, and I came up to speak, and because of my experience and what was going on there, I said, listen, the funeral is downstairs. But it's not like that here, praise God. But how much of your heart has some ice around it when it comes to the lost? The world out there, as we celebrate here, is going to hell in a handbasket. And something that has not happened for centuries is the body has not gone out to go. The first words of the Messiah to his disciples, who are not even his disciples yet, was, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Read the book of Acts. It's all about the acts of the apostles. It's not about them staying anywhere. Today, if the Holy Spirit fell with tongues of fire and other tongues, at the end of that, they would say, "Wow, that was great. Let's meet again tomorrow." Instead of going out on the streets where 3,000 came into the kingdom in a single day. We go from meeting to meeting and from conference to conference. Although, that sounds like a good conference, I might go. But God calls us to go from glory to glory. There's something absolutely missing, and what's missing is us. I want you to take your spiritual temperature this morning. We are part, you know, I don't know the details of the history of the churches spoken of in the book of Revelation, but I do know that at best the body today is Laodicean, lukewarm, if not cold. And the Lord says that because of this, I will spit you out of my mouth. And he says, "Those whom I love, I chastise, I correct." If that's from the Lord, take that call. Does God have an iPhone? Android? No, he has the iPhone 8. If we are honest in the kingdom of God, then God will reveal to us what we need to repent of now before it's too late. You do not want to find undiscovered things about your life when he comes back. You want him to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." This calling, even though we're saved by grace and there's nothing we can do to earn our salvation, without works, our faith is dead. And he has good works prepared for us before the foundation in the world of the world that we should walk in them. And we are called the same way he is. He said the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And he said, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Do you see yourself as being sent? Or do you see yourself as, if you describe yourself, do you talk about your vocation? Do you talk about your family and everything? And he said, "He who loves mother or father, son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Does it not say that in the Word of God? He doesn't want us to abandon our responsibilities and our families, but he wants us to put him first and to realize that we are the saints equipped for ministry to do the works that actually will bring back the King to hasten the day of the Lord. This is who we are. Evangelism is not something we do. It's what we are. We are lights. We are salt. It says if the salt loses its taste, it's good for nothing. Why do you think the Christians in North Korea, in Iran, which is the fastest growing part of the body right now, they pray that we get persecuted because they see we're not doing anything with our freedom? Because when it comes time
to proclaim the gospel, if you can't do it anymore, then it's going to separate. That'll be the separation of those who mean it and those who are just playing church. We are not called to attend a weekly meeting. We are called to change the world and to change this city. That's why you're here in this city, called to change it. Every one of us has been given gifts that God wants to use to and no one can take your place. And if you don't function in the way God intended to you, then I'm robbed. Because we're a body. When none of us are called to do this alone. Just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. It's not me. I just happen to have heard this stuff. And I'm just telling you what I've heard. But he says it all over. He says it all over. He says, if you're not for me, you're against me. And here's a heavy one. If you're not gathering with me, you're scattering. You cannot sit on the fence if you're a disciple of Yeshua. Either you're gathering the lost with him or you're working against it. By doing nothing, you're working against him. There's no neutral ground in the kingdom of God. Think this Jewish guy named Bob Dylan wrote a song when he was walking with the Lord about that. You got to serve somebody. And he said it's either God or the devil. The devil has turned this dynamic, world-changing faith into a religion. And we need to escape it because especially you guys know this. It is boring. Yeah. Am I right? Yeah. Boring is no good. We cannot give them something boring and expect them to follow. Does anyone have anything better to do than change this world? I don't hear you. I hear them. What about you older people? Seasoned with wisdom. Yeah, you hear that one, right? It says, fear of the unknown halts our efforts. You don't want to be rejected. He might not listen to me. What if doing this costs me my friend? You know, I'll tell you something. I am hated by all of my Jewish friends' wives. Let me tell you why. All of them. Now, it used to be when they saw me, and my last name being Bernstein, my name is Bern. You know, everybody from Brooklyn, you know, you call by your last name. I don't think anyone ever called me Jeff or JB. And so when they would see me, they'd say, Bern, how's Jesus doing? But nowadays, they'll say this. I mean, without even saying hello to me, if they haven't seen me for months, they would go, my grandfather went to synagogue every day. Where are you telling me he's in hell? As soon as he sees me. And then I go, listen, leave me alone with that. I'm not in charge of that place. And then I say, why are you asking about that? Do you believe it's real? I am so thrilled that I've been delivered from that. And every one of them wants to hear more. Okay? So what happens is after they're with me, they start, they're not born again, but they're already preaching to their wives. So their wives blame me. You see, it's one thing. We're not reaching the lost of the nations. But did you know that, you know, and I know that you have a heart for the Jewish people here. Did you know that 99% of Jewish people are lost outside of the kingdom of God? 99%, almost. There is a spiritual holocaust happening right under our eyes and on our watch, and we're doing precious little to stop it. The devil is absolutely terrified of Jewish people coming into the kingdom of God, because the last time the Jews had the word of God, they did turn the world upside down. And it's going to be the key to the salvation of the world is the Israel to come back into the kingdom, and together with the nations who are called out of the world, namely you guys, to complete what is known as the Great Commission. It's time to get it all done. And so the enemy has devised, has changed the gospel to Jewish people. So there's a different Jesus, a different Yeshua. Like I was saying, I grew up believing that Jesus was the son of Mr. and Mrs. Christ. And I look at pictures of him and I see a Swedish hippie, not a Jew from the Middle East. And you take a look at the, do you know the Last Supper, the painting by Leonardo da Vinci? Do you know if that was a true rendition of the Last Supper, which was a Passover Seder, that Yeshua would not have been able to be the Savior because he would have sinned? How? There's loaves of bread on that table during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That's how clueless the body has been. In fact, the message to Jewish people for centuries has been, be baptized or we will kill you. And in today it's more, come, become one of us. You need to convert and become a Christian, instead of the real truth, which is we have become part of you because we follow your God and your King. But Jewish people have never heard that yet. God is, I believe, is ready, not getting ready, to do a new thing. And if not now, when? And if not with us, right here, who? I know that God is speaking to everyone here. I know that you know, like most of Christendom, that you need, that you should be really involved, not in only reaching the lost, but turning them into disciples. And not only that, turning them into disciple makers. So that this once again multiplies. One of the reasons why the enemy is so terrified of Jewish people coming into the kingdom, because our calling through Abraham, even before his name was Abraham, Abram, was that he said, in you all the families of the earth will be blessed, because there will be a communication of the knowledge of God. The Jewish people are called and gifted in the area of communication. But most of them are lost. Like, for example, right now, I have lost track of how many minutes I've been speaking. I mean, I could go on and on all day. Tell me, like, when I need to talk and when I, you know, how long have I been? How many hours do I have? What? I've been about 30 minutes. Yeah. Because we can't stop. And it says, I can't. Even Jeremiah said, there was as in my heart a burning fire. And I tried to hold it in. His word was like a burning fire. I tried to hold it in and I couldn't do it. The apostles, when they were threatened, they said, we can do nothing but speak about what we have seen and heard. to bring salvation to the Jewish people, and this is a Jewish area, so that salvation, so that the pattern of evangelism that has been lost, it is to the Jew first and then everyone else. Not that our focus changes in a church. I know that your focus is not necessarily to reach the Jewish people, but it's a priority for all evangelism. And the Apostle Paul, who was called to the Gentiles, said, I magnify my ministry by making my own jealous. So he always went to the Jewish community first, to the synagogue first, even though he was called to the Gentiles. Hallelujah. Here's another concept, way Christians think. We've gotten over our salvation. In some ways, this issue is the focus. It says Jesus becomes routine. Our passion for him settles into mediocrity, so we won't readily tell others about him. Most pastors are not taking the lead in evangelism. There's a firm, you know, Barna, they do these big polls and everything. It says, is evangelism going out of style? The bottom line is that millions of Americans remain committed to the idea and practice of evangelism. However, Christians need to be aware of a growing apathy toward evangelism amongst the most unlikely of groups, most middle-aged and middle-income Christians. The very people who should be reaching a place of maturity are becoming less and less interested in those. And you know who the only generation that is on the rise upward? The millennials. The only ones. Here are some reasons why people don't evangelize. I want to just go over this quickly. Fear, the fear of being ridiculed, afraid of rejection. They don't feel or think they are qualified. How do you do it? I don't know how to speak to someone, even though you've been in the Lord for 30 years. They want to keep their jobs. They don't want to make a lot of noise. They're afraid. Their security is not in him. It's in something else. Complacency, lack of compassion, spiritual laziness. The word that fell among thorns, the thorns choke the word. The thorns are the cares, riches of this life. Choke the word. We're not invulnerable to that. Too many worry about political correctness. Influenced by worldly culture. A lack of training and don't know how to share. Not strong. And few people believe what they said. And they believe in some false beliefs. I can go on and on. It's just incredible how much information. But in the book of Acts, it says when they came to Jerusalem, they declared all that God has done. What are we declaring? I know that you have testimonies here, but what God wants is testimonies of someone that never knew him, totally transformed regularly, all the time, until the majority of the people in here have only been in the kingdom of God for a year or less. You would have your hands full. This place needs to become a nursery. And it's not that we're trying to bring the new babies here. Maybe we need to go and start something where they are, in their culture. But that's a good problem to have. There's a stigma attached to evangelism, but the Word of God says, rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, behold, we did not know this. Does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not requite man according to his work? The word of God says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Will we be doing what he has called us to do? Will we be just accumulating knowledge, or will we be obedient? And in the word it says, those who lead many to righteousness shall shine like the stars forever and ever. I can't think of any better promise in the word of God. It's so beyond. Could you imagine what that would mean? Shining like a star forever. You want to be a star? Forget Hollywood. The love of many. The love. You see, we love. You're a hugging community. I see there's a little love going on here. Okay. And I'm sure that it follows through with actions. Who's the brother, Joe, fighting for his life? I say let's get even with the devil. He comes and steals and kills and destroys. I heard he has a real heart for evangelism. I was telling the pastors that the devil hates this kind of stuff. He doesn't want you to get this. He doesn't want you to receive his fire. He doesn't want you to receive God's fire. He doesn't want you to rescue those who he has. There is a war going on, and we have victory in the Messiah, and we're called to enter that victory and to really take our faith and use our faith. Hallelujah. Lord, I just ask you right now to brood over your people. And Father, your word says that you sent Yeshua, you sent the counselor, the comforter, and that he will convict. He will bring to remembrance. He will cause us to know where we fall short, so that we will come and run to you and to repent and change our minds and be cleansed of all unrighteousness. How many of you believe that we need to start all over again? How many of you do you want to turn away from the coldness and the apathy that threatens every one of us and say no and say yes to him? And if that's you, I want you to stand up right now. Hallelujah. Don't stand up because the person next to you is standing up, please. Because when we make statements and when we come before the Lord, he is here right now, and he doesn't need eye drops. He sees everything. He sees everything and loves us, but he chastises. You parents, you know that if your kids mess up, that you got to let them know. You got to let them know. And sometimes it's going to hurt them, but it's to help them. And if we're not chastised by the Lord, then we're illegitimate. Hallelujah. The Lord says, through, you know, everybody was coming to John the Baptist to repent. Do you know that? Even all the Pharisees, everybody. You know, he was not looking to win a popularity contest. If anyone was not, he called the power guys a brood of vipers. Who asked you to come? Why are you coming? And he said something that I really believe is a word for all of us. Bear fruit that befits repentance. In other words, we repent, we change our mind, we say goodbye to the lukewarmness. We don't want it. We recognize we're flames of fire. And then we say to the Lord, here I am, send me. Now, I don't believe that we're supposed to do evangelism or go witnessing, but we are to go out, to be sent into the malls, into the communities, you know Baltimore better than me, into wherever, and do things like take a walk, have a cup of coffee, have a hamburger, but recognize that you're called before the foundation of the world and appointed to bear fruit. And in that context, it's not the fruit of the Spirit, it's offspring. It's spiritual offspring, and there are thousands, if not tens of thousands of people right out there waiting to meet you. I'm here 2 weeks. I am here to begin to equip you to become dangerous to the devil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The word of God says, no one could come to me. Yeshua is speaking. No one could come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. We are going fishing for those who are being drawn to Yeshua by the Father. There are thousands, thousands that are right there, and in fact, God is right now orchestrating for people to meet you on a given night really soon. And I am going to show you how you can easily do this, because it's in your nature to do this, because anyone who is in the Messiah is a new creation. The old has passed away. Say bye-bye to the old new you. And the new has come. It's time for us to really not be just believers, even the demons believe, but to know who has redeemed us and to know who he is and the power of his resurrection, and bring that power and presence out into the streets of Ellicott City and whatever other city this is near. Hallelujah. So, everybody's standing. I'm blessed. The Lord is blessed. I say this in love. You better mean it. I want everyone now to come forward. And we're going to pray and ask God to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, empower us, fill us with fire. Come up, come up. Don't be, you know. Those who are coming up at the beginning, come way up, so the people who are coming up last can come up, but come all the way. We're going to go all the way here. Yeshua only had 12, and they turned the world upside down. What can we do? Wow. Come all the way up. Come all the way up. I don't want anybody in the background. I don't want anybody. I'll just go. I'm going. Come on. Don't be afraid. You know, you're hugging people. Come on. Come on. Get close. Up front. Close and personal. Come on. I might need to get into a boat to avoid being crushed. Okay. Hallelujah. By the way, the Jewish people, how could they have rejected him if he had to get into a boat to avoid being crushed? Who's going to crush him? Indians? Chinese people? The Jewish people flocked to him. One of the things that we're going to do is we're going to blow the whistle on what really happened in the first century. Jewish people don't know why they don't believe in him. We're going to tell them that they don't know what they don't know. Hallelujah. Wow. Let's all, I'm not going to say bow our heads and close our eyes. I will say this. Lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. You know, there's something about lifting up your eyes and taking them off of yourself. When you're engaged in rescue operations, somehow your problems kind of like disappear. They do. They do. They're not as big. They're not as big. And eventually you get so filled with the Spirit and His presence that you forgot what your problem was. That's real inner healing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Father, we just come before you right now. Lord God, we ask you to help us to make a transaction right now. Our sins for your righteousness. Hallelujah. Your word says that he who knows what is right but fails to do it, for him it is sin. Lord, we've all sinned against you in this area. And we ask you to cleanse us by the precious blood of the Messiah. You paid a great price to wash us. And Lord, I just pray right now that we experience your forgiveness. I'm just going to lead you in a prayer. Father, forgive me for neglecting
those who are lost,
for being apathetic
and
not caring
of those heading toward
judgment.
I repent.
Send me.
Use me.
Empower me.
Reveal my gifts.
Give me wisdom.
And your fire.
Father, in the name of Yeshua, send fire right now. Send your fire upon your saints. Lord God, in the name of Yeshua. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Ignite what is already ours. We are flames of fire. Fan those embers. Lord God, blow on the sparks until we become, Lord God, there were no flashlights back then. There were no candles. There were just torches and menorahs. And you said that we are the light of the world and that your light will shine in the darkness. Father, I pray you ignite that fire here, that you send Holy Spirit fire right now. Holy Spirit fire. And Father, your heart, your broken heart for the lost, and especially the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Give us the brokenness, Lord God, of the apostle who said, I would be willing to be cursed for the sake of my brethren if they would come to know. Oh God, give us your broken, weeping heart over the 99 that are lost, that we would also, that we would leave the 99 that are found and go after the one that is lost. Because that, your heart, is such that you desire none
to perish. None to perish, Father God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now the Lord understands. He says that you're worse than an unbeliever if you do not provide for your own families. So it's his spirit said that. And so he knows you have families and responsibilities. But every one of us can take one evening or afternoon, once a week, or at least by grace, once out of every 10 days, to come here to this building, to pray corporately, to be equipped, empowered, and sent out, guess how? Two by two. Did you ever hear of that strategy before? God will use you in ways you've never dreamed. So we have sheets over there, and every one of you who is standing, because you mean it, I said, you know, if you don't mean it, please sit down. It will be better for you. But if you mean it, and I could see that you are sincere, I could sense it, put your name on one day out of the week. We will hash everything out and talk about it. You know, if you live far away, the Lord is into this much more than I ever could be. He will work it all out. But he wants you to say in Hebrew, Hineni, here am I, send me. Let's all say that together. Hineni. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sign your name Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Monday through Friday.
Monday through Friday.
Yeah. And can I just add to that?
Yes.
Okay. Jeff's going to be equipping us this week. Okay.
Every day, every night.
Okay. Every night he's going to be here. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So sign up for a night, 7 to 9. Now, if something comes up this week, you sign up for Wednesday night and all of a sudden you get sidetracked, something happens, come Thursday night, okay? You know, do that. But try to sign up for the night that you think you will be able to go out the following week. So if Monday night's your best night to go out, like Jeff is encouraging us, then try to sign up for Monday night. And because next week, we're going out.
Right. Now, feel free, if you can, to come every night.
Yeah.
And also, by next week, by the grace of God, I am going to launch a new website called gatesofzion.net, and it will be an equipping portal that will have videos and everything you need to understand how to effectively speak to complete strangers and have them become your dear friends in minutes. During the day, we're going to make a way. So just sign your name, and the details will follow. We might have teams going out on Saturday evening or on Friday, you know, on Saturday during the day or Wednesday morning. But just sign what is the best day. And if weekends are the best for you, just put weekends after your name. Put your phone number, your mobile number. If you don't have a mobile number, put your home number and an email address. Okay? And last, we're going to prioritize but not focus on reaching the Jewish people. So be praying, what does that look like for this congregation? And also, that is one of the callings that God has given me, is to equip the body how to reach Jewish people. And I'm going to show you, I believe God has shown me what it looks like to make Jewish people jealous, according to Romans 11:11. And so
I have them. Did everybody get those cards yet, or we didn't give them out yet? Okay, we're going to give out these cards. Now, I am developing the website to equip you guys, but also a website for Jewish people that when you're talking to them, because you're not going to really lead many Jewish people to the Lord on the spot because they know less than nothing about Yeshua. Everything that they know is wrong. So I'm created, the Lord has given me a name and a website called theforbiddenbook.net. Because Jewish people have never read the Brit Chadashah or the New Testament because they think they're not allowed to. But it's all about the Jews and about Israel. Yeah, I mean, we know that. Yes, that's part of understanding how to really reach them. The other thing I'm developing is what happens when someone comes to faith. We're going to have them download an app on their iPhone or on their Android, thank you, called The New You. And it'll have everything they need to understand. It's going to be digital spiritual milk. Okay? So because we're not called to lead people in a prayer, we're called to make them. We're called to fish for men and then to turn the fish into sheep. And the baby sheep is a lamb, and we need to feed the lambs. So this app will be milk for them. And so get ready to have a couple of disciples that you have led to the Lord. Hallelujah. And so we're going to pass these cards out, and I'm asking everyone to come alongside as a partner of the Gates of Zion. That's what I call the ministry, because at the gates of the city is where the prophets spoke to the people and to kings. So the Gates of Zion, the vision is to bring Israel back to their own king and Messiah. Not the 99% of them that do not know him. And so I would like you to prayerfully consider helping to do this by contributing only as little as $10 a month, which will not change. I don't think it'll change anyone's lifestyle. And so, you know, if you're doing really well, you can add a zero to that 10. Or you could, you know, but at least if everybody gave at least 10, then I will have more than enough to be able to do all the Lord has given me and not worry about money, because I don't need to be concerned about it. And the Lord has everything, but it's through his people. So when you get a card, fill it out. You can put your credit card information down there. And then I will key it in, and I will destroy the number so it, you know, is not compromised. Or if you are squeamish about that, you can go to the website now, gatesofzion.net, and click on donate. But take the bottom part of the card. Keep that. Feel free to communicate with me during the time I'm here and afterwards. Even though I'm going to be here for 2 weeks, I intend to help you with this until the end of the age. Until I work myself out of a job, because there are evangelists here that are going to equip the saints. I believe that. So let's go and sign your name.
Right here on the table.
Right here. It's right up here. So you don't go back, sit down. Only sit down after you.